Hello and welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. In this podcast, I discuss prepping, homesteading, and everything in between. And today, I'm going to be diving into a much-needed homestead update. The seasons are changing, and I thought it could be educational and informative to discuss the ins and outs of my homestead and what my life has looked like this past summer on the homestead. But before we get started, I am so excited to share my limited edition autumn blend tallow balm with you. And it's only available until October 31st. And if you're a fan of pumpkin spice and love cozy fall vibes, this nourishing tallow balm is basically autumn in a jar. I crafted this balm to keep your skin soft and hydrated as the weather cools down. And the scent is just chef's kiss. So think of tangerine, cinnamon, cardamom, and clove blending together with that perfect pumpkin spice aroma. And not only does it smell amazing, but the tallow and natural oils work wonders on dry skin. So tallow is what healed my dad's eczema. So I love being able to share it with the world and hope you love this limited edition tallow balm. So make sure to let me know what you think and let's dive in. So this past summer was my third summer on the homestead. Each summer brings a different flavor, and the more seasons I get under my belt here, the more confident I become in different aspects of homesteading. My first summer was full of chaos with a milk cow, two rescued feral dogs I was training, and a garden that did not have a deer fence. So you can only imagine how that went. My second summer, I was much more grounded in my homestead. I got Nigerian dwarf goats, and although I dealt with a few escapes, they were much easier to manage, in my opinion, than a milk cow. If you are curious about caring for goats, I have a podcast episode that dives into it. And I finally got my deer fencing up last summer, so I was able to plant an orchard, a variety of fruit trees. And now, this most recent summer, I'm not quite sure what I will shape it as in a year or two from now, like these other summers that I've had some time to process and look back on. But we will discuss and maybe come to a conclusion together at the end of what this summer has shaped to be. The end of spring brought in new life to the homestead. My three Nigerian dwarf goats all had three babies each. So I had 9 new little goats on the homestead. I gave away 7 and kept 2. I realized doing that I don't love having people come to my homestead to see animals and decide if they want them or not. I'm a private person, so I'm not sure how I'll manage this next year, but maybe a crate and meetup location. And what I did is I found this older woman who has grandchildren, so she was so happy to just take the goats. She came over twice to take the little goaties for me, and I was happy. They're great people, and it was the same person. I didn't have a lot of people coming over, so maybe next year I'll just give her some goats again, and her and her grandchildren can use them for whatever they want to. At first, I was thinking that I was going to keep 2 little bucklings, so right now I kept 2 does, but I thought maybe I'd keep these cute little bucklings, but they became so loud. Every time I went outside, they screamed and screamed and screamed, and the bucks smell so bad, so they ended up going to this woman. But the babies have been fun to have around as they run around and jump in the air. Plus, they help me get milk out of their moms and keep the production up. The goat deliveries went well, except for one goat, Annie, who almost died from milk fever, so her calcium levels dropped, and she wouldn't eat anything. I acted fast with B12 injections, electrolyte drinks, and Nutra drenches, and she lived, which I was so grateful. She's my favorite goat. She's so sweet, and I would have been gutted if she passed away, but that is why you have to be on top of it. You have to be watching your animals, and I knew going into goat deliveries as my first time that there might be something to go down, so I was as ready as possible. But besides that, everything went well this spring with my first time with baby goats and pregnancies. This summer season also began with raising baby chicks. I bought 7 from a local homesteader and I was given 4 from a friend. Here on the homestead, I put the chicks in the coop when they are big enough. Then they become free-range chickens and fight to survive. It is kind of interesting because I have a friend who has backyard city chickens and her chickens are so calm. They don't fly. They follow her around. My chickens are flying all over the yard. Only my originals from 2022. They come to me when I yell chick, chick, chicky, and my chickens are just feral. And I understand, though, because it is survival out here with owls, hawks, and not to mention my worst predator, one of my dogs. Yes, one of my dogs has been the culprit of so many of my chicken deaths. Sadly, and really the call has been coming from inside the house on my homestead, and I have been struggling with it. This dog was rescued beginning of 2023, and I have not been able to train the chicken killing out of him, which has been incredibly frustrating. I started with 11 new chickens this season, and I am down to 2 or 3 of those originals surviving. He didn't kill all of them, as some just simply disappeared, but I witnessed many attacks and saved as many chickens as I could. No, I am not just letting my dog willy-nilly take out my chickens. I have 5 dogs, and the other 4 all killed 2 chickens before they understood no more and have not killed any more on a whim. It's been years since their last chicken kill, but this latest rescue has not learned like they have. And I'm afraid that he is incapable of it. I thought I had success because I went a few months with no attack. Then one day, he got the zoomies and ran through the chickens, and them running and squawking set him into instinct mode. And both my parents on different occasions witnessed him attacking a chicken and me having to get the chicken from him. It has been a nightmare in that realm and so frustrating. He always wears a collar for tracking that has shock, vibrate, and beep. And when he goes instinct mode, he does not respond or care about the shock. All of my other dogs immediately stopped. He does not. One of my dogs responded being told she was a mean girl and she felt so bad. She has never touched a chicken again. Literally, I didn't even have to do anything. All I had to tell her was, "You are a mean, mean girl." And she's never touched a chicken again. But this Craigslist rescue did not grow up around chickens, but neither did my other 2 rescues that were feral from 2 summers ago, and they learned not to kill chickens quickly. So needless to say, this summer has been brutal when it comes to chickens and this particular rescue dog. When the chickens go into his kennel area, depending on the day, they may make it out. If he gets excited and runs through chickens, a chicken may not make it out. 2 out of the 4 chickens I recently pulled from him have survived. My new gray rooster that I got earlier this season did not survive. My gray blue egg layer did not survive either. And I don't want to rehome this dog. As I'm aware, my homestead is his home and my other dogs are his family. So I am trying to be as vigilant as possible. It's frustrating though, because I love these chickens and watching these ruthless attacks is upsetting. Him not learning is upsetting. And it's not like I can just get a trainer because I live rurally and someone coming up for one day is not going to do it. I mean, even a few days because I'm home all the time. So I am on him and he's just not, it's just like not clicking. I'm not sure if the respect isn't there, but I'm really at my wit's end with it because I can't have a dog who is ruining my food supply, but morally I can't have a dog that I rescued and give away. So I'm really in this tight spot of frustration and trying to figure it out. It's just so silly and low IQ for this dog to just keep killing chickens. Like all my other dogs learned, but this one just really doesn't care and doesn't have any boundaries with himself. And speaking of this dog, he also escaped one night this summer and went missing. Having a dog go missing here is a nightmare because farmers love to shoot dogs. So you can imagine my panic. His collar had died and he was nowhere to be seen. I alerted my neighbors who searched their property and found nothing. I slept on the couch with the windows open so I could hear if he returned. And around 3 a.m. that night, I hear his whimper across the field and go driving over there and find that he was at my neighbor's with their feral dogs on a carcass of animal entrails. My neighbors, for whatever reason, butchered an animal and put the entrails right on the fence line, which I don't understand and isn't considerate as a neighbor, in my opinion, because they know I have these dogs. And of course, that will attract them and other animals. And it's really just disgusting. I know I am not the only neighbor who is frustrated with this because, like, man, who just leaves guts just laying there, you know, out when we have feral animals like mountain lions and bears and my dogs right by the fence, like, hey, here's a big pile of guts. So that was something that night. One of the very first projects I ever did here on my homestead, which was the first summer season I was here, or actually that spring, was I fenced my entire property to make it a safer place for my dogs, and fences make good neighbors. I seriously love having a fence. Obviously, as the ground shift though through the season, I have to patch holes, or when my neighbors leave out piles of guts, I have to go patch holes because my dogs will find their way out. They want to get to that pile of guts. So yes, I found my dog and wondered, like, man, seriously, who just leaves guts out when there are animals like bears, coyotes, mountain lions, and more just roaming around? Like, I still don't have an answer for that, but building that fence was one of the best investments into my property and sanity. No more dogs getting out or animals getting in, for the most part. So this has been my adventure with that particular dog this summer. Still work in progress, as you can tell. Also, right at the beginning of the summer, I got invited to go on Dr. Phil to discuss conspiracy theories. I'm not embarrassed or nervous to discuss them on social media. I even have a series where I say, I'm a conspiracy theorist, of course, and then I share a conspiracy that I believe. So I figured, why not go on Dr. Phil to chat about them too? I told Dr. Phil I thought he was a part of the Illuminati and that he was a clone to his face, which I thought was pretty funny. And to be honest, I genuinely do believe that, and I'm not scared or embarrassed to share it. That entire show experience was wild, and I'm grateful I got to experience it. The episode just launched, and you can find it on Dr. Phil Primetime. And this summer also started off with a bang. There were so many bangs going off with Dr. Phil, my animals, and then another bang of me going through a faith deconstruction. I entered this phase of my life a few months prior when I experienced systemic abuse in the church I was attending. You may be wondering what a faith deconstruction is, and it is when you start to unravel your beliefs and critically examine what you hold to be true. You're asking questions, finding answers, and really you are unraveling your identity. And that is a very difficult thing to do. I still believe in Jesus Christ, but I know no longer hold other beliefs that I had that went along with this particular faith I was a part of, and I'm still processing it daily. The systemic abuse I experienced is what started this journey. At the time, I didn't understand what I was going through or that I was experiencing this abuse until I started to dive beneath the surface. My local church leader lied to me, didn't respect me, and now I know it's because I'm a woman. And then he tried to use Jesus to manipulate me. And genuinely, I'm not a feminist where I'm a man hater or feel like I'm a victim because I'm a woman. That is not me at all. But I eventually analyzed this system root and stem and realized truly how mistreated women are. And well, I'm a woman. Now I have had months to process these events and see what happened and to just really analyze it and to go through it and pick it apart and understand it critically and not just with a blindness that I was and had for a long time, but going through it earlier this year was bewildering and I felt isolated. I haven't discussed this much on socials, maybe in a few tweets on X, but when I tell you this has been rough, it has been really rough. I mean, I am taking my whole identity, everything that I believed, my reality, and it got torn down. I mean, shredded to pieces. So imagine something you believe with your whole heart, your identity is around it, and it's gone, you know? So I'm really going through self-discovery, relearning my relationship with God and Jesus. And many nights I've woken up and I've just pondered through it, these restless nights. And God has opened my eyes to truth and he continues to do so. But it's interesting because if I told anyone this who I went to church with, they would genuinely believe it is Satan leading me astray, that I am going to hell, and that I'm a devil. While I am in a better spot than I was at the beginning of the summer, I'm not out of the woods by any means as I continue to explore my faith and who Jesus is. But overall, I am so happy. And I didn't realize how much this particular faith was such a burden on me. It made me feel miserable. And I remember just one day thinking, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. Like, I'm miserable. Like, my body had this reaction just thinking about it of like repulsed. My body was literally repulsed thinking about attending this church. And I sat and thought, Jesus does not want me to be miserable. He does not want me to feel like this. And I'm not going to do this anymore just because I'm told I need to do this and I just need to suffer through to maybe get a few blessings. And that was one of the best decisions of my life. I am so passionate about it. I am so happy that I am not there, although choosing this was so, so difficult. I mean, I can't even explain. Just imagine losing your identity, your beliefs, and having to build back better. No, I'm just kidding. But yes, build back better, honestly. I might speak more on this in the future because listening to people who have gone through a similar situation has been a saving grace for me going through this. I'm also grateful to my mom who has listened to me through this journey and has supported me every step of the way when I was feeling isolated, when I was confused, when I was reading these lies and going through this manipulation and not understanding. Like, it's so interesting, when I was going through this abuse and manipulation, everything in my body was like, hey, something's not right. Something's not right. But my brain that was conditioned didn't understand what wasn't right. But now I see it. And now I see exactly what wasn't right. And the people that I was able to listen to who were sharing their experiences going through this genuinely just saved my sanity. So I might speak on this. I might make some videos and go through this. I haven't decided. You can let me know if that would interest you or if you find that you need help in this area, because I do feel passionate about it. And this has been such a big turning point in my life, and I happened to go through it this year. So along with taking a beating spiritually, I also took a beating in my garden this summer because of the wacky weather experienced here with a winter cold blast of negative 30, then a funky transition out of spring. I had two cherry trees in my orchard die, and all three of my peaches came back stressed with their leaves only coming out on a few branches. I was sad because I love my trees. They are full of life and breathe life into the homestead, and I worked so hard to plant them. But I ended up bringing in more fruit trees into the orchard, and I have high hopes for next season. Mid-season in July, too, I had a freak accident on the homestead that resulted in an injured dog. This accident definitely took out my summer and changed the dynamics on my homestead. One evening, a goat of mine decided to ram one of my dogs into a building, which injured her leg. I didn't know it at first, the extent of the damage. I just cleaned the wound the first night, but then the next day I noticed there was swelling and she couldn't put her foot down. I took her to the vet. They x-rayed and said no broken bones, but they were concerned about her tendons. Well, in order to decipher what's going on with tendons, you need an ultrasound. No vet around me does ultrasounds on tendons. I ended up taking her to a pet rehab where the vet made a guess based on her calculations of what she thought was wrong and thought maybe it was a partial Achilles tear. And by now my pup was putting weight on her foot, but her foot was bendy. So if you look up an Achilles tear on a dog, you will see that the foot doesn't go down straight. It bends. Like it's almost like a C instead of a straight down I. That's how I can think to explain it. And it was painful to look at and I couldn't imagine. So it looked like my dog's leg was about to snap. So I saw this vet twice, and based off of her specific diagnosis, I was able to find a pet specialist about 6 hours away that treated this kind of injury. And I made an appointment and went in right away. I told the vet that I didn't want to do surgery if possible. We discussed all of the options and they took her in for an ultrasound. So again, I had to drive 6 hours. I mean, I went in the day after I called in because this was serious. I needed to get my dog taken care of. You don't want these injuries to go on and have scar tissue form. And when he took her in for the ultrasound, he ended up calling me back into the room and showed me in the room and said, I know you don't want to do surgery. That's why I wanted to show you this personally. And he showed me how one of her tendons was completely severed. He said this does require surgery, but the good news was that I took such good care of the injury the previous 2 weeks that it should be a clean surgery. Her surgery came and went, and I do believe her surgery was a miracle. And I couldn't help but picture Jesus in there with the surgeon because it went so well. Like the surgeon told me after how it was clean and he was able to weave in the sutures so well. And she ended up being in a cast with limited mobility for 8 weeks with checkups every 2 weeks. So I was driving every 2 weeks. I was making sure she was good to go with her cast. And the checkups went great. And the vet said he expected a 95% recovery on the first checkup. And this latest checkup, which was her last in the cast, he said that everything looked great. And he expects her to have almost a full recovery, like 98%, and back to running here in a few months. She is now in a brace with still getting used to her leg. So her leg is lame. She hasn't been able to use it for 2 months. She ended up getting PRP injections too through the recovery, which are platelet-rich plasma injections in her foot to help with the tendon regrowth and just the overall recovery. She eats a raw diet, and I attribute that to her incredible recovery, plus being surrounded by so much love. I just love her so very much. And I let her know, and I know this makes a difference for animals, but to make matters complex on this, I actually share this dog with a friend. My friend is in her 70s and we met on a hiking trail. I watch her dog when she travels the world and we have become great friends. And when I tell people this, they always ask, was she mad when you told her that her dog got hurt? And the answer is no, she was incredible. She was graceful and we consulted together on a game plan for healing. She was an example to me in that situation because when I first called her the first night of x-rays saying there may be a bigger issue, I was crying. And she said, have you never seen a three-legged dog? They are so happy. So no, she has been great and we have been sharing our pup through this recovery process, just going back and forth. And like I said, this was a big chunk of my summer. I cried every day in July, and I'm not exaggerating. I cried because my pup was in pain. Finding a specialist was difficult. Many nights she couldn't sleep and I couldn't help her. And I worried about her leg because she is an active dog and she's young. And I just didn't know what was in store. And it ended up how it ended up because of the wrong diagnosis from the rehab vet, I was able to find these specialists. And for that, I'm grateful and look at as a mercy from God. I never would have found these amazing vets if I hadn't received a wrong diagnosis. So if you remember, the rehab vet thought she had a partial Achilles tear and that it was specific to a certain muscle group. And so I was looking up this certain muscle group and what's the diagnosis and what's the prognosis and what does the research say? And these amazing vet specialists popped up for me. And I was able to get in contact with them, and they had been nothing but great. So the latter half of my summer has been spent in dog rehab, driving hours away from the homestead to get surgery and do checkups. And I'm so, so, so grateful for parents who help me and watch my place while I am gone. And I never share when I'm gone on social media. That is something you should never, ever do. I cringe when I see people and other homesteaders sharing, hey, I'm leaving this weekend, or hey, I'm not home, I'm on vacation. Don't do that. Just even if you're not a homesteader and you don't have a following, don't ever share when you're not home. Okay. And with all of the situation being said, it definitely changed the dynamics with my goats. I struggled to be around them for a while because I was so upset at what happened. It's this one goat in particular who is just a nasty bully. I mean, my dogs and goats are out all day together, all day for the past year, but I do understand that animals are just animals. And these are goats. I stopped letting this goat free range, and that changed the dynamics of feeding. When my pup is here healing, I also don't have my other goats free range because she has trauma from that event, rightfully so. And I don't want the goats, who are friendly even, to come be around her and cause stress. And I actually shared in one of my stories how this particular goat doesn't get to leave the run anymore and she's in goat jail. And I had some people who are really angry with that and I'm a horrible person, but all I'm saying is she's lucky that she's not heading to the butcher because of how much trauma was caused because she just decided to be nasty one day. So now, because my goats have been spoiled with being let out to free range beautiful grass and shrubs, they are upset being in their run. They scream, and I mean scream, every time I step foot outside. They have either associated the screaming with me getting them hay, or they just scream to scream, and that has affected my peace. I can't step outside and enjoy the birds or the views without screaming, piercing my ear. So I am figuring out how to mitigate that, and I will reduce my herd and see where to go from there. Along with that, this season my buck has smelled horrendous to the point I am gagging every time I walk by and smell his scent. The bucks urinate on themselves, so the male goats, and even just talking about it is twisting my stomach because the smell has been so vile this fall. I knew bucks smelled bad, but I didn't want to deal with artificial insemination or renting a buck, and last season was not this bad with my buck. I mean, one night I was milking goats and caught a strong whiff, and I just lost it. Like, my dinner was on the ground in the goat enclosure in about 10 seconds after smelling that, so that is another goat problem. My peace is being affected from the screaming and the horrendous stench. So homesteading growing pains, I suppose, but I do love the raw milk that I get. The goat milk is so, so delicious and divine. My summer season did end on a high note. My hives produced a ton of honey. All four of my beehives survived winter, which was incredible with how nasty the winter was. I ended up with about 15 gallons of honey that I will use to eat, cook, bake with, and to give away as gifts. It really was a joyous end to my summer after going through everything. My pup is healing, I'm learning how to move forward with my life, and the homestead continues to grow along with me. So I think this season has been about learning my limits and allowing myself to grow like the trees in my orchard. I'm grateful for all of the seasons in my life and even more grateful for those who are there for me. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. It really was like a journal entry, and I picture, you know, my kids, my grandkids listening this one day and like, oh, that's what grandma was doing on the homestead. That's what she was going through. And I wish I had that from my grandparents, but I appreciate your time and spending it here with me. I hope you enjoyed seeing a behind the scenes on what's going on the Gubba homestead, and I will see you guys next time. Bye.